Welcome to Lipstick Bitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to another episode. Guess what? Season 2 is coming to an end. I know it's wild, y'all, but this is the second to last episode. Next week is going to be our season finale of season 2. And then your girl is taking a much needed break, a much needed vacation and time off for the summer to do some traveling, to see some friends, see some family. As I mentioned last week, if you're in New York, I will be there for the next 2 weeks in July. And then I will also be in Seattle, LA, and Portland in August. So if you're around, if you'd like to help me organize a mini meetup, please reach out to me, DM me at Lipstick Bitties. I would love to set something up so I can meet some of you while I'm out there. Just a reminder, Pride merch is on sale. 100% of the profits go to the Trans Housing Coalition, and Moda sale is still on. If you use the code Lipstick Bitties at checkout, I will also be donating a portion of my commissions to the same organization to celebrate Pride. Our meetup that is on Saturday is actually sold out, y'all, but I did get to release one ticket. So there is one ticket that was just put up on the site. So it was sold out. There's one ticket left. Go grab it before it's gone, because this meetup is going to be incredible. I cannot wait for this weekend. And make sure to get on my email list, y'all. If you're not on my email list, you're going to be missing out on this shit. So please get on my email list. As you know, everything is in the show notes. I apologize, by the way, for the audio quality of this episode. It actually was a Instagram live that we recorded and then converted to podcast episodes. So it's a little off, but it is so good. This episode was actually with Devon Testargoza of The Sanitation Conversation. She is amazing. We have such a great conversation. I mean, you all have been asking me for another episode about hygiene and sanitation, and I had to do it with someone who is an expert in the field. You probably know her from Instagram and her platform, Sanitation Conversation. You can follow them on Instagram at Sanitation Conversation. And by the way, we do mention in this episode, if you'd like to take their online course in English or in Spanish, it's in the show notes, and use the code BITTIES, which is good through within the year of this episode airing. It is still good. And she is so generously taking $49 off of the course. So it makes the training $50. So essentially like half off. Make sure to go take it, especially if you've been looking for more resources for sanitation and hygiene. This is the class to take. So a little bit about Devon. When we get into the episode, she tells us a little bit about why she started Sanitation Conversation, her background in the beauty industry, and as an educator. We talk about all the hot button topics that you know that I love to talk about. Differences between sanitation and disinfection, being hygienic at a health grade standard, all about single use items, what's not a single use item, etc. Being hygienic and also being sustainable, which is like a big thing right now in the world. We also talk about being brave and sticking to your guns and sticking to your values and speaking up when you see things that are wrong. You know that I'm here for you. And the more we talk about it, the more normal it becomes. So I know you're going to love this episode. So make sure to tag us on Instagram with something you learned, something you loved. We'd love to hear your feedback. And also, I mentioned in this episode a special t-shirt design specifically towards sanitation and hygiene. And I'm going to be releasing that in July. So keep an eye peeled for that. Hope you love the episode, and I will talk to you all next week. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. It is your host, Rachel, here, and I'm so excited and privileged to have today's interviewee here from the Sanitation Conversation, Sanitation Conversation owner, Devon Testargoza. How are you, Devon?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. I'm so excited that you were able to be here, because
as we were saying before we just jumped on the recording, one of the pillars of my content is all about sanitation and hygiene. I'm so passionate about it, being a professional makeup artist. So everybody's been asking me to do more content like this. And we did a sanitation and hygiene episode back, like episode one, like maybe episode like 15, and we're at like 65 episodes. So we're way overdue for this. And I'm just so honored that someone who's an expert in the field, you are able to actually have the conversation with me. So it's not just me and my friend venting about dirty makeup artists.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure you and I share some similar ideas about the industry and the awareness, but I'll let you dive into that.
Hell yes. Okay. So let's first have you introduce yourself for anybody who is new to the sanitation conversation and your platform. Can you just introduce yourself and a little bit about what you do?
Yes. So sanitation conversation started back in 2018, pre-COVID, I like to say, because we were also passionate about changing industry standards. So I own a beauty school in Michigan, and we really were teaching our students at a whole nother level sanitation. There are no trainings, there is no books, there was nothing that we could utilize to teach them. We had to develop our own curriculum, our own ideas, and we did that partnering with a medical professional who helped guide us on, you know, what really is appropriate, because even some things that we were doing were not at a health grade level. So anyhow, sanitation conversation really stemmed from teaching our students the right way and at the health grade level of how to protect their clients. And then we realized we need to teach everybody this, because this is the problem. Many makeup artists that I worked for years would pride themselves on great sanitation, but they didn't really understand the difference on good sanitation and health grade sanitation. So anyhow, we started back in 2018 with, you know, the platform to bring awareness. And what we lacked at the time, and we quickly turned it around, was a solution. So we were making everyone aware, not intentionally shaming, but definitely trying to make aware, if you're doing this, like, it's not okay. But then we realized, okay, that's great, we're bringing awareness, but there's no solution. So then we decided to turn the platform into an education training platform that can bring credibility to the artist. So on our platform, if you've been trained and certified, you're listed on the website. And we also, you know, provide supplies. But we feel like we're at a comprehensive place where you're aware, there's no turning back. Now you need to get educated. You need to get certified for the sake of your clients and your reputation. And of course, we will always help make sure that you have everything you need in your kit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I found out about you all after COVID. So you guys were, but you had started before, right?
We did, but COVID made us very popular. So yes, sadly, since I feel like, I don't know if everybody's as hype as they were, you know, everybody wanted to get trained and certified. We could barely keep up. Didn't know that this was going to happen. Right. And then now I feel like, I don't know. I think people are slipping back into some bad habits, whether I see it on lives or I see postings and big companies, you know, like we have huge companies that pulled all their testers and, you know, didn't really provide a solution. That isn't a solution if you want to sell cosmetics.
So, I know,
you know, it just seems like we were super worried and super conscious. And then, oh, the world went back to semi-normal or the new normal. And now it's okay. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing.
Right. And it's, you know, whenever I post about hygiene or sanitation, or I make a funny video that's like, you know, tongue in cheek being like, don't be dirty, you know, that kind of thing that like people can share without feeling guilty. Every time I do, my DMs start blowing up. And people are saying, no one's talking about this. But the thing is, people are talking about this. And it's like, it's so frustrating for me too, because I'm like, no, people are talking about it. Go follow the sanitation cover. Even like the Barbas, I remember the Barbicide course was like the first thing that I found out about in COVID. Like the resources are out there. And the only way that like we can get the message out is just continuing talking about it and giving platforms to people that are passionate about it, which is why I want to have you on here, of course.
Yes, I appreciate it. And I, not only to bring exposure to sanitation conversation, but also to just bring awareness to the industry. Like, keep that standard where it was in 2020, right? When everybody was freaking out and wanted to get back to work. Let's keep that same standard. Let's not get, you know, go back to bad habits.
Right. And I'll be the, and this is the thing too, like I'll be the first to say that like when I think that this is like a very like typical story where people like started, they either were self-taught or not taught it in makeup school. I have people telling me not only were they not taught at makeup school or maybe like the teacher was being unhygienic. I went to a 44-hour certification course. It was a makeup school and beyond just scraping, they never told me how to deep clean my kit. They never even, at least I don't remember. It could have, like truly I have a little bit of ADHD. So it could have been included in the curriculum, but I really don't remember like hearing it. I also remember when I first started doing makeup, I would only use Cinema Secrets to wash my brushes. Like no one ever told me to like deep clean them at home. I never knew that. And because prior to that, I was self-taught, a lot of my working skills were learned on the job from other makeup artists. And unfortunately, the makeup artists that I was learning from were not hygienic. So like they were also teaching me even worse habit that like when COVID happened, it was like a good thing for me because I didn't know that I was doing half the stuff wrong, except for a couple of things that like other makeup artists had talked to me about, which we'll kind of go into like etiquette a little bit later. But do you feel like that's like a common thing?
Absolutely. And that's really like when I said, you know, we started this based on our students were coming back to us after being on set or doing a bridal party with a colleague. And they were so shocked at the sanitation practices. It's really our students who brought it to our attention, like, oh yeah, the rest of the world is not operating at a health grade sanitation level. And I feel like we brought the word health grade sanitation to the industry because everyone just talks about sanitation and hygiene. Okay, so yeah, you don't want to be dirty, but there's a whole nother level of sanitation and disinfection. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely not been taught the right way, which is why we pride ourselves on what we developed. And during COVID, there was a lot of spinoffs. And I know Barbicide created a class, but this was still not, you know, particular to makeup artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, in scenarios where you are so close to a client, easy cross-contamination and different products, right? Like there's different things that have come out over the years, whether it was gel liner and we like to make it nice and warm on the back of our hand, or the felt tip liners. Like nobody's talked about all of these different products and what, you know, really what should be done. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, I see, you know, many artists who practiced under veteran artists, famous artists, celebrity artists, and whatever habits they had, good or bad, they picked up 100%. So we were very aware of that. Again, because of our students, but I've also gone through aesthetic school and I was an aesthetics instructor. And what they were even teaching at the school I was at was nothing. The books, the cosmetology books and the aesthetics books do not put thorough health grade sanitation for makeup in their books. There is no curriculum. So we definitely, you know, did our research, took our time. It was really just to elevate the industry when it started. And then COVID hit and it was like, oh, now we're really servicing the industry. We're kind of a pioneer as far as making people aware and providing a solution with education. So 100%, it's very common.
So your background, were you an esthetician or a makeup artist, or what specifically were you working in the field prior to doing this?
So I was a makeup artist for 10 years before I became an esthetician. And essentially I became an esthetician because I wanted to open a salon and I just wanted to know more about skincare and different services. So that's really how it came about. But yeah, I was a makeup artist and I did some crazy things. When I think about like, even if I, and this is like 25 years ago, right? So don't judge, but I remember like, you know, taking a palette and blowing on it, right? To get the dust off, or, oh my gosh, how horrifying. So, you know, awareness is everything. If you didn't know before, it's like, don't feel bad. We've all been there. But there's so much education out and so much awareness. Like there really is no reason you shouldn't have seen it at some point in your career. and been focused on it. I mean, if you're keeping up with the trends and, you know, what's new and hot, then surely you're keeping up with sanitation.
Right. And when you're saying like the blowing on the palettes, you know, there's like industry greats that like are known for doing masterclasses where they're blowing on brushes, licking, like this is like recently, like licking the eyeliner thing, you know what I mean? And these are like well looked up to artists. I like reposted something recently, like the people who follow me know, I reposted something recently, a celebrity artist, not going to name names, went into a Sephora and like grabbed someone and just started doing makeup with the testers. And I was just like, what is going on here? I was like, I feel like this conversation, I really want to keep to working like professional makeup artists in like freelance fields more so than retail, because like retail is like a whole other beast and not something that like a lot of times we personally can control if we're working for a company that doesn't have the products or the, you know, the means to be able to sanitize testers and stuff like that. So I just want to like put that in context. So you mentioned a couple times about sanitation hygiene versus medical grade sanitation. So could you explain a little bit about that, what that entails?
Yeah.
Like as an overview, you know, I know we can't get into like the deepest dive here, but like.
Well, health grade sanitation is really just being mindful of the different kinds of viruses, cross-contamination, bloodborne pathogens. There's a lot of things that, you know, again, there was always controversy over the beauty blender and there was controversy over, you know, dipping in your palettes. I've had some really expensive palettes and, you know, really, should you be dipping in that palette? Not really. Do we do it? Yeah. But health grade is scraping that product off, never letting your brush contact any product directly from the palette, and then placing it on the client's face. So health grade, understanding, cleaning, sterilizing, and disinfecting. Those are three very different things. So I know there's a lot of makeup artists who are like, oh, I clean everything. Okay, well, what do you clean it with? Because alcohol and something like Barbicide or Leukocide is actually one of our favorites. Mm-hmm. We really love Robert at Leukocide. He's developed an amazing product. And mm-hmm. so we use that a lot in our school and our, you know, in our kit. But anyway, so this is something that kills another level of bacteria and fungus, right? That alcohol doesn't kill or disinfect. And so you're not aware. I was not aware. I used to alcohol everything. And then I realized that wasn't enough for mucous membrane. So when you're dealing with the mouth and the eyes and the near the nose, I mean, you can't just throw it in alcohol and expect all of the bacteria and grimy little critters to dissipate. They're not going to. So that's really the difference, is using different products that are health grade and medical grade to disinfect your area or, you know, utensils, tools, whatever.
So ideally, like I know, like you can't use like viral sides like on actual cosmetics. We have products like Beauty So Clean and then obviously like alcohol. Are those the best things to use like on the actual makeup, or should, when we're working, we shouldn't be like touching anyways? Like I feel like I always like triple do everything. Like what's overkill here?
Yeah, it's you know, I understand it from an artist's point of view too, right? When you over alcohol or you over sanitize, you're ruining your products and you're ruining your brushes, right? So there's, you know, there's definitely got to be a happy medium. I know there's a lot of people that are not going to scrape their palettes to get the colors they want, but I do advise that if there's something visibly wrong, some conjunctivitis, some kind of pink eye or a sty or something like that, you absolutely have to scrape your product out. You risk contaminating your whole product over one client. So
you mean when you say that, you're talking about pressed powders, right?
Pressed powders, right. Yes. Pressed powders. So, and there's a lot of different things we could talk about, but that's just an example. So I would say, you know, alcohol 100%, but ideally you should be scraping that product, depotting everything. Every single thing that you use should be depotted. So felt liners, those are single use. There's no way you can disinfect that, right? The same with mascara. If you're not going to use a spoolie, then you need to give that mascara to your client. And maybe mm-hmm. that's something you build into the price. But there's some things that are just single use. You know, there's right. There's no way you can get around it. So alcohol, ideally for shadows, things that aren't, that you can't use a viricide or a bacteria disinfectant on. Absolutely. You don't want to get that on the skin. However, we have allowed, Leukocide created a product where you can spray it directly on your palette. It is not going to harm the mm-hmm. skin or harm the client. It's mm-hmm. so diluted. So I would say a step up from alcohol, but, you know, do your research. And it really depends on the context on how you're using that product.
Right. So when we say that you should be depotting everything, that kind of goes into, I have like a list. I have like a list of, like you're saying, hot button things, maybe things that we can like touch on that I feel like there's always like debate on, like A, whether it can be sanitized, and B, how to sanitize given product. So you were saying like depotting everything. So things like, for example, you know, we know cream products, we could scrape lipsticks, we could do all that. What about like a pencil eyeliner, pencil lipstick, or like even like a twist up like brow product? I was taught in school, and even like to this day, I still like alcohol sharpen alcohol. So if that's wrong, I want to know that I'm doing it wrong. And like I said, we're all here about education, and like I'm happy to admit if I'm like doing something wrong, because this is like learning for everybody. So I just want to put that out there. So like, what is your, how would you go about that?
So there's been so much controversy on this, and also just misunderstanding or not really knowing what is, you know, the best solution. It's never, the one mistake I think I see often, and it doesn't sound like you're doing that, but is using the pencil sharpener as the disinfectant. Well, all I have to do is, you know, sharpen the pencil, and then it's got, but then all you did was cram all that bacteria in the sharpener.
Into the sharpener.
Yeah. And so, and I did that for many years, not really thinking, but your pencil really needs to be dipped in a product like Leukocide and then use the sharpener. The sharpener is to take the product off, the Leukocide off, right? Or the bacteria or the alcohol, to take it off so that it doesn't come in contact with the client. Now, it's tricky because that's a cream product, so super porous. If you have somebody, my suggestion is if you have somebody that has something suspicious on their eye or on their lip, I would just gift them the pencil, unless you're going to literally cut off part of the pencil, because we know that it's, I don't know that it's ever perfect. You can use, and we've used this too, a UV disinfectant machine. So we like Sterilite. We've used that a lot. You could pop it in there, and it doesn't penetrate, right? It does not penetrate the pencil, but it definitely will ensure that anything on the outside has been killed. So I would say ideally, you know, dip it in Leukocide. It's diluted. Dip it in alcohol, whatever you feel more comfortable with as far as coming in contact with your client. Then you sharpen, and then it's ready for use.
Okay, so that's what I've been doing. So thankfully, that's good.
Yes.
So, okay, cool. So that's one. I feel like the other one that's always like hotly debated, you kind of mentioned it, was the beauty, reusing beauty blenders. And I would say what a lot of people, and I used to reuse, again, taking accountability, I used to reuse beauty blenders. So the argument, and now I don't even use beauty blenders in my makeup application. I just use brushes. But the argument for that you can disinfect them is people say, well, what's the difference between that and a brush? Because even if you're like washing the brush with soap and water, you know, the bacteria can go all deep in the ferrule. And that's the whole argument that most people say is like the bacteria and germs go deep inside the sponge. So what would be the difference between the two? Or is it still kind of like
I would say for brushes, I mean, you're not using the ferrule or that part of the bristle or brush hair. So that's just a non-worry, right? Anything you're using, you've definitely had saturated. So brushes, I would not worry, as long as you are ensuring you're using the right product. Again, there's a difference between sanitizing and cleaning. And a lot of people just clean their brushes, but the cleaning doesn't mean that it's killed any kind of fungal bacteria or virus, right? So again, why we like the Sterilite. I don't know that you could wash your brushes with Leukocide. You know, I don't know what kind of damage would be done. Again, it's diluted, so maybe not at all. But anyways, as far as the beauty blender, so we had a big controversy when like COVID was at its height, and I kind of felt we were trying to stay neutral, but we were getting a lot of really, I don't want to say bad press, but almost, by like a particular makeup artist that was representing the brand. And so we had to tread carefully because our brand was new as far as it was exposure, even though we were around since 2018. Mm-hmm. So we were very careful. So we did some testing. We got with Sterilite. we didn't do any laboratory testing. So there's no way that I know and I can guarantee, or anyone else, that inside the core of that beauty blender, there isn't bacteria. I would imagine there is. Now, the outside, you can wash it. You can use Lucozide. You can use alcohol. Again, could damage your product. And then we put it in a Sterilite. On the outside of the Sterilite, if you're not getting to the middle of the brush, we believe that it can be reused if you're using that UV Sterilite. Do I advise it? No. But there's so much controversy. We know how makeup artists love the beauty blender. I love the beauty blender. It has an amazing finish. But I think it's something that you're going to, I think is single use right. And needs to be gifted. But there's still arguments that go round and round. And we contacted Beauty Blender to discuss this. Like, have you done any laboratory testing to see the inside? And anyways, we didn't hear back. But our final announcement when we had done the live was that, you know, put it in the Sterilite. It'll kill the outside bacteria. But no one knows how much bacteria is in the core of that Beauty Blender. I think we all know that, right?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people also are concerned because it's like the environmental impact. Although, like, so my one friend had made, her name's Journey, she had made a video about like a way to save on money. Cause like, okay, first of all, I always like to just be better safe than anything. So like, why would I reuse it when it's like, I could just use brushes? Or Miss A has like pretty affordable beauty blenders, which are like really comparable. So my friend Jern, in her video, she was like, all you have to do is like cut them up into pieces. That way you're not using as many. And so many people were getting at her in the comments being like, the environment. And I was like, would you say to a doctor to like reuse their tongue depressors? Like, I guess people don't like.
They want both.
Yeah. And it's like when people want to like, yeah, reduce the environmental impact and not use as many disposables. I know that there's options like bamboo applicators that are more environmentally friendly. If you're really passionate about it, then you shouldn't have the problem spending the extra money on it. You shouldn't be like trying to save by like reusing things that should be single use. And I feel like a lot of the people that use beauty blenders that are pros use the, I hate this, use the pro one that's black. So you can't even see if it's clean or not. Like if there's any product on it, if it's been used.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we connected with a company where you can send in your disposables so that we can dispose of them properly. We did try and look into bamboo. It was very difficult because people want, you know, a good price point. They want to save the earth. And I get all that. They want sustainability. Like, I totally get that. And we've tried our best to try to put together a solution. But at the end of the day, it is really about keeping your clients safe too. I mean, yeah, I'm 100%, you know, I don't use any kind of disposable plates or forks or cups or anything like that. I really, even in my own home, try to be mindful of that. But, you know, there comes a point where there's some things that's just not going to work out. There's more and more being developed. I really wanted to develop an all natural brush cleaner and sanitizer. And that's so expensive to develop. And then you have to, you know, are people going to use it and willing to invest in that higher price point?
Right.
Not everybody.
It's not sustainable, especially if you're like working so frequently. Like I feel like for, you know, someone who may be doing it as more of like a hobby or like very part-time may want to do it, but not like, it's not reasonable, especially like people like, you know, that do like special effects that like, you know, they need those like hard cleaners and stuff like that. So that's always, yeah. So that I totally agree with everything you said. So I think that like people need to like, kind of like break, you know, like decide what's really most important, like for a living human being that is in your chair versus.
Yeah, 100%. And they have wands for, I forget what they call it. I'm drawing a blank on some of the companies we connected with, but I can tell you that it's like either they're upset about the price point or they're upset about sustaining, you know, and I just feel like at this point, you do your best, exactly what you said. You have to determine what is your most important to you. And for me, if I'm taking on a client, it is most important to make sure that client is safe. They're letting their health and their wellness, they're putting it in my hands. And that's a huge responsibility.
Right. After we get off this interview, can you let me know about the company that recycles the disposables?
Yeah. So Jen, if you're in here, will you post it? Because she knows. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. This is terrible, but I'm trying to.
So we could put it in. We could put it in the show notes. So if you're watching, by the way, because we're like about halfway through, just so you know, this is being recorded for a for a, oh, someone said TerraCycle. I knew about TerraCycle. I'll put that in the show notes. So this episode is going to be aired as a podcast episode. If you have any questions, please pop them in the question answer box because I'm not monitoring the comments right now. And then in about 15 minutes, we're going to start doing the Q&A based on what you guys popped in the question box. So she said TerraCycle.
TerraCycle is who we connected with. And if you ship your products back, we will make sure they're recycled. That was, you know, again, our due diligence in trying to find sustainability because the bamboo was very expensive. We could not get it at a reasonable cost. And they weren't producing it quick enough, right? Once everybody jumped. But the other one I was trying to remember was Wands for Wildlife. And this is for spoolies. And that's a really neat company as well.
Cool. So we'll put that all in the show notes. Okay. Another, I feel like, hot topic that, and these are also things that like people have messaged me being like, what's your opinion on this? Or like, why is no one talking about this? And a lot of times I don't know the answer. A lot of people want to argue about having acrylic nails. So like a lot of people talk about, you know, having acrylic nails. It's unhygienic. Any makeup artist that has acrylic nails is unhygienic, period. They should never have acrylic nails. And like, before you answer, like, I'll say, like, my opinion is there are plenty of makeup artists that have like natural nails that are not getting underneath them when they're washing their hands. So what's the difference? Is it really that much more unhygienic to not to have the acrylics? You know what I mean? Like, if someone's being really diligent, like, washing them? Like, what do you think about that?
I would agree with you. I mean, we could say the same thing about natural nails. Right. So I think either way, you can harbor bacteria. I don't know a lot of makeup artists that walk around with like a scrub brush that you would like surgeons would use. But if you want to make sure that your nails are perfectly clean, then that's probably something you should do. But I think acrylic, non-acrylic, I don't know that really matters.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And it's like, I feel like that specifically, like, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it anymore. So I let that, let's put that argument, I think, to rest at this point.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
So, okay. And one other thing I used to do was, like you're mentioning, warming up products in the back of your hand. I personally use one of those like Tegaderm strips on the back of my hand now, just because, again, trying to be hygienic. But I was also having a conversation with someone about it being like, well, what's the difference between putting it on your hand and then if you're going to use your hands during the makeup application, which I do, you know, applying skincare and stuff like that, but you really have to get into the skin, they're washed. So like, is it that much of a big deal if we're putting it on the back of our hand, like bare, or should we really be using those Tegaderm strips if we're doing that?
I think you make a good point, but at the end of the day, you're using your fingertips, but I always worry, you know, in the back of your hand, you could have anything, a scratch, you could have a psoriasis, you could have an abrasion, which you're not likely going to have, right? You have completely different texture on your hands. So I just think that, in all honesty, I would want that protected for yourself and for the client. But I think what you say is a good point. And if, you know, you feel like you absolutely have to do it, at least sanitize that area. But, you know, we're just trying to bring better practices. Ultimately, it's the makeup artist's decision.
Right. Right. On that note, like, you know, this whole, the whole overarching theme, I feel like, is how do we have these conversations with our peers? Like, a lot of people are like, I can't say anything, or like, what do I say? Or they're assisting someone who's asking them to work out of an unhygienic kit. I feel like a lot of people have trouble figuring out like how to navigate that. I will say that like the Beauty Blender thing for me, for example, I only stopped using them because another makeup artist said something to me. And she was able to say it in a way that I felt like was non-judgmental. Granted, I knew her, so it wasn't like a random person like being like, don't do this. She was just like, so like, how do you sanitize those? Like, how do you clean those? You know, you really can't clean. And I was just like, well, I like, you know, nuke them in the microwave, and then I like soak them in alcohol and all that stuff. She was like, okay, well, as long as you feel comfortable that they're clean. But she said it in a way that made me think. I was like, okay, well, I'm clearly doing something wrong. And then when I researched it, I was like, oh. So anyways, that's my story when it comes to that. So do you think that we have a responsibility to kind of like, as a community, like look out for each other or say something? Or do you think that it's like one of those things is like, if someone's not going to know, then not my business.
Well, we faced this, right? When we were at the peak of our sensation, when COVID had hit and everybody wanted the training and to be certified, we had some interesting conversations with celebrity artists that were gracious enough to put us on lives, and we were great. But it's funny because in secret, there was conversations about things that we shouldn't talk about, right? Like that were taboo, because it would make that artist look bad in regards to her colleagues and what her colleagues would think of her. And I thought, wow, so is this just a marketing ploy, or you really want to connect with us about health grade sanitation? Because she wanted me to limit, and I did. I said, but I was still carrying on my message and my mission, but I was obviously careful not to shame anyone and make them feel bad. But at the end of the day, I think somebody who has an issue with being criticized, you know, in a polite manner or for constructive criticism, if their ego gets in the way, no matter what, they're offended, right? And then cancel culture comes and all these repercussions that you suffer as a makeup artist because you're trying to have an industry standard. So I would say you have to be brave. And a lot of times it is delivery. So I think the way she said it to you, her delivery was, you know, welcoming and not making you feel bad. But sometimes it's not going to come out pretty. I mean, if somebody is working out of a dirty kit and you are going to stick to your standard, how are you going to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't work in that kit? Well, why? You know, I mean, think of the conversation. At the end of the day, at some point, you're going to have to say, because I don't feel like it's sanitary. And they're going to take it personal. So I don't think there's a perfect answer for that. What I can say is if you have standards, you don't lower them for anybody. I mean, your client is relying on you. Your viewers are relying on you. And it takes somebody very brave and very courageous. And we've been down that road because we've been shunned and we've been, you know, yelled at or you know, crap talked on social media. We've been there. And we were like, at the end of the day, this is health grade sanitation speaks for itself. It didn't come from us. It came from a medical realm. And this is what you do if you were in a hospital. So it's no different. So I would say you have to stand your ground. They're going to get hurt. Their feelings are going to get hurt. Their ego is going to get hurt. But if you believe in what it is that you do, then you need to be brave and courageous and call them out. I mean, there's celebrity artists. I see them all the time. And it's like, oh, well, it's okay. It's a pass for them. I can't believe it. Now, do we consciously go out and do that and shame them? No, we don't. Do we DM them though and tell them there's a better way to handle that? We do. And so we don't have probably a lot of fans in that realm, but that's okay because our mission is to protect our clients and ourselves.
Right. And that's like everything you said, I'm just sitting here like, yes, 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 yes. Because that's literally like everything. If I ever repost something that's like pointing something out, first of all, I don't go, look at this. I just repost it with no caption. And then the DMs come in, and then usually I'll post like a follow-up being like, it's not personal. It's not personal. Like we should be, like we have a responsibility to our clients. That's the most important part. And like, why are like, what is the, it's not like we're even like criticizing your artistry. Like, why is like, it's just, it like, It just baffles me. So like everything that you say, because like you have to be brave. And like, I feel like that's what I've personally, so like, it seems like our platforms have kind of gone through the same sort of thing, because people will tell me also that I'm trying to cancel people. And I'm like, I'm not trying to cancel people, but like, I'll put out like talking about celebrity artists and stuff like that. I mentioned the one that I reposted recently, but like one other thing I just want to, you know, kind of get, see if you have any feedback on, what can we do as makeup artists if we're in the spotlight? You know what I mean? Like if we're doing a master class in front of a group of audience, if we're doing like online classes, or if we're even just something as simple as doing like a demo on Instagram, because I see it often where people are using the concealer wand directly on the face. They're dipping in and it's clearly not a fresh product. I put this out there. Should we put a disclaimer? Like, what is a way that like we can like as a community like show that we're still being hygienic in those instances? Because I do know also that a lot of times you have to use the product, you know, directly on the client when you're doing educational things. I've been in that position before.
Well, and are you allowed to gift them all the products, or where?
Right. So I gift. So like when I did my demo, I was like, because I had to use a liquid liner directly on her, and I was like, and you know, I'm using this liquid liner, but it is brand new and it's going home with my beautiful model, period.
Yeah, so I think that's a great way to handle it. Absolutely. Disclose even before you start. What you don't want to do is have somebody in the audience or somebody that's watched your video say later, well, you never said anything. And then you're, you know, say, oh, well, you just didn't know that I was gifting that to them. You want to handle those conversations before you start the application.
Right. And I think that like, I think that the more people, I want to say this too, I think the more people that do this, it'll become more normal. And I think that like the idea is like, I would love to see it become like the standard that you just say that, or you put in the caption when you're doing a demo and you're using, you put a little disclaimer, just like you would put a like disclaimer about, like, for example, if you're getting paid to advertise, you have to put like gifted, you know what I mean? Or like advertise it. It's like, what, like just to take that extra step to write the extra little sentence and normalize it, people pick up on it and then we'll start doing it too. It'll become like a trend. I think that's where we need to go.
Yeah. And there's so, you know, we work with some makeup artists. They were great. They've taken our class. They're super supportive of us. Mario, you know, we would donate to some of his master classes, mm-hmm. and, you know, help provide guidance. We all slip up, right? We all do that. And so I think, you know, it's okay to have a gentle reminder, because someone like Mario or other artists that we've worked with in the past, they're open to it. It's just about like, oh yeah, good call, right? Like, Roshar was so wonderful. We would, you know, we're exchanging ideas and he was super receptive. Sometimes it's just like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. Or so, and I'm not saying those two in particular, but you know, did anything wrong. I'm just saying right. that some of those artists, they were very receptive. Like, oh, well, what do you think about that? I think Roshar had once asked us something particular and it was like, how wonderful that he's being vulnerable enough to say, you know what? I don't know if I do this right. Like, what do you think? And so right. that's just where we need to get. It isn't about cancel culture, but it is also that they're very impressionable on newer artists or artists who really love their work, right? And it's their mentor. They're making an impression on all of us. And so why not use your platform to make sure you're guiding the industry in the right way?
All of that. And like, that's what we're trying to do here at Lipstick Bitties too. And like, if you guys are like worried about, you know, asking someone that like you hold in super high regard, ask me, DM me, ask, like people do ask me. I'm like, and if I don't know, I will tell you, like, go to the sanitation conversation or like go, you know, I'm not sure. I'll tell you when I don't know things, but like, that's what this whole community is for. And luckily people unfollow me when they're triggered by this stuff. So like most of my followers are not triggered by it. So like you can even ask people in the comments. You'll see people in the comments that are passionate about it. So I guess like it's about 1:45. So I wanna make sure that I get to some of the questions that we have, because we did have some questions come in. And let me see if there's any that we possibly answered or maybe didn't answer. Should a powder puff be gifted as well, or are they okay to reuse it properly sanitized?
I mean, I think it's okay, but it's your discretion. Again, if there was anything that popped up, they had an open sore on their face or, you know, some kind of funkiness going on around their eye, whatever the powder is for, I would say, you know, it's up to you.
Right.
And you can buy it. Conversation, we like to see everybody scrape and depot anything they can. But we also understand, I had some Visiart palettes. Those are hand pressed, right? You make a little crack in that and the whole palette is going to shatter, right? The whole color palette. So anyway, you know, if you can scrape, that's what I would say. If not, you know, sanitize it the best you can.
Awesome. And then I know we had touched on this a little bit earlier about powder products. You were mentioning scraping. Another great way to do it that, like, I feel like a lot of people started doing it recently. I started doing it recently that makes it a little bit easier is just taking a cotton round and rubbing it on the products that you want and then working off that cotton round. Is that good?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I've also heard controversy where the fibers of the, just the fibers of the cotton round or the cotton have gotten mixed up in the brush and then that's kind of its own mess. So what works for you is great. Yeah, when I say scraping too, it doesn't have to be harsh. I mean, you could use a soft bristled toothbrush, right?
Right.
Just to get some of that product out. It doesn't have to be your metal palette.
Right, right. Yeah, people don't like, we're not trying to like destroy our products
here. Yeah.
But I think that like working with people, following accounts that have these similar values, that speak about similar things, especially if you feel like you're not getting that information, look at who you're following. You know what I mean? Like follow more people like Sanitation Conversation. Are there any other account? Well, Create Safely is another one that I've plugged before. They usually have some pretty good information. You were saying Barbicide. So can you tell everybody, because I know you have online courses and everything. So can you tell everybody about like how they can get some ongoing education with you?
Yeah. So we have a sanitation course. It is very comprehensive. You get a certification, a digital badge showing that you have taken the proper steps to learn health grade sanitation. So that is available and we'll do a special discount for your listeners.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we also have, you know, again, we also put you on a platform that's on our website where customers or hiring agents can see if you've been trained and certified. So it's important to finish the training and complete it successfully so that you can get that additional credibility. That's very important. And so our training, you can go back and forth. I think it's for 6 months or a year if you want to revisit it. And it's about $100. And we, again, will give a discount for your clients. But then the renewal is like $25 a year. And, you know, it just keeps you, and we give you, during that renewal, we give you any updates. And you're the first to kind of know any promotions. And, you know, we've been a little bit out of the loop for a bit, but we have a great podcast in live. Wait, is it a podcast? See, I get mixed up because my school, I do podcasts for that too. And so then I'm like, wait, is it a live? Is it a podcast? But we did so many great O's podcasts that interviewed celebrity artists and talked about their sanitation. We did a lot of great lives with this too. And so anyways, check out our website. There's a lot of great stuff. TerraCycle, we partnered with them to make sure that, you know, we're doing our part as far as sustainability. But anyways, yeah, I would say check us out. Check our social handles out. Mm-hmm. We have a lot to offer. We have a lot of industry connections. Okay. And, you know, I think what you're doing, Rachel, if I can just say, like, you're so brave to stay true to your mission. And, you know, any of your followers should be super grateful that they have a pioneer that's not afraid, that isn't going to be bullied into backing down. And you're the reason our industry is elevated. So keep up the good work and we'll support you any way we can. We'll definitely send you out some goodies to have in your kit and keep doing what you're doing. It takes you, the brave soldier, for all of us to, you know, bring the industry to the next level. So thank you for what you're doing.
You're going to make me cry. It gets hard, biddies. It gets hard. It gets hard when you're doing stuff like this. Not just the things that are said to me directly, but things that I know that like people are kind of like, what is she talking about? Like to each other. Like I tell you guys, I'm Biddy Claus. I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I know when you're not being hygienic. And also I know when you're talking to each other about the platform. And it's like, I just have everybody's best interest in mind. And like I said, even if I come off like sassy, it's always just to try to make a joke about like a really tough to talk about topics that you guys feel a little bit more empowered to share something because it's a little bit more light than just being like be clean. So that's, you know, where I'm coming from. I'm never trying to be judgmental. Like I already aired my dirty laundry here during this interview. We're all about education and supporting each other in community, making changes that are going to benefit everybody and being trendsetters. Like I said, I'm going to challenge you guys that are listening to, from now on, put a disclaimer. If you're doing a demo and you're using anything directly on the client, I'm going to challenge you guys to write a little disclaimer in your caption, just something small, just says that you're gifting it to a client, or, you know, that whatever the situation may be. So the more we normalize this, the better it's going to get for everybody, not just us. This is not like an ego thing. This is like a community thing, and it's for our clients. The clients are the most important. So
yeah,
so we're kind of running up on our time. Thank you so much. First of all, thank you so much for being here. Like, I, you know, sing your praises all day, and thank you for the offer about discounting it for the listeners. I'll put all the details about that in the show notes. So just make sure to check the show notes about it. If you're watching live, thank you for tuning in. If you have any last minute questions, please say them now. Make sure to follow Sanitation Conversation. And Devon, do you have anything like additional that you want to like leave off with, any words of advice or motivation, or, you know, any last words that you want to sign off with before we say goodbye, and then any other things you want to plug?
Well, I would say we usually attract who we are, right? So your audience is probably similar to you. And I would say to them, stay true to yourself, even when it gets hard. You know, have your standards, stick to your standards, because that is your brand. And your brand is everything. So stay true to that, even in the hard times. We've been through a lot of things with the school, with sanitation. And I can tell you, it gets really hard. But if you're true about your values and really believe in what you're fighting for, I would just say, don't worry about, stay in your own lane. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You will have your own tribe. Your tribe will find you. And don't change for anybody else to, you know, we live in a world where everything is a problem. There's always two sides to everything. There's no standard. We're losing our standards in America in general. And I would just say, figure out what your standards are and you stay true to them and don't waver.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Devon. One more thing before I sign off, because I just thought of this when you were talking, because we have like all new merch in the merch store, and we're dropping this new design. It's going to show up on the camera backwards, but I'll tell you what it is. So this is going to be on a shirt, and we also have stickers. And it says 70% alcohol or bust.
So oh, like that's cute.
So you can show that you know. And God, we're not even going to get into 99 versus 70, because that's basic. You guys need to know this. But so you can show that you are up on hygiene, and it is cute as fuck. So
I love it.
Thank you again, Devon. And I'm going to end the live. Thanks, everybody who joined. And we will talk to you all next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you for listening to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head bitty in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Bitties. Remember, you are a badass fucking bitty. See you next week.